Okay, scripture reading today is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 11 to 20. This here, see this? This is the very word of God. Let's open it together. Please turn there in your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's in the Old Testament. It's way towards the front of your Bible. Way towards the front. Chapter 30, starting at verse 11. Pastor Lisa.
Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20. Now, what am I commanding you today? Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Pastor Lisa. So Deuteronomy 30. Fact, life is a series of choices. Our lives are a series of choices. We make them all day. You choose to, even this very day, you chose to come to church today. It's a good choice, by the way. But choices, stories about choices, the story is told of the dean of a college who finds a magic lamp. Of course he rubs it, and of course a genie pops out. You knew that, right? And the genie gives him a choice, infinite wealth or infinite wisdom. Well, he's the dean of a university. Without hesitation, he chooses wisdom. Poof, done, says the genie. And he disappears in a cloud of smoke. The dean of the university goes back to school. He goes into the lecture hall, which is packed. He goes to the podium, and he tells them all about his experience and his choice. All eyes are fixed on him. As they look at him, he has a sort of a glow about his head with his new knowledge. Say something wise, one of the students finally says after so much silence. The dean pauses for a moment and says, I should have taken the money. Making sure it's still on. Choices, right? Choices. Today's passage from Deuteronomy is all about choices. God giving us basically two choices, blessings or curses. Here's the setting for the scripture passage. At this point in Israel's history, they've been rescued from slavery in Egypt. Supernaturally by God, they saw that, they witnessed it, they experienced it. They are past their years of wandering in the desert, but they're not yet into the promised land. They had learned some tough lessons, but they were not yet ready to receive God's reward. They're on the edge of coming into the promised land. Deuteronomy, the Israelites are urged to know the law. Know what God wants from you. What does God want from any of us? Moses is teaching them this. Let me lay it out for them, because Moses' days are numbered too. And he needs them to know the law, to return to obedience before they enter and claim the blessings of God in the promised land. They'd been through a lot of trials and troubles, and now they needed to reflect, to review, to grow, and to choose wisely. The author of Deuteronomy is the great and mighty leader of Israel, Moses. And Moses, the author, knows better than any of them about choices and the price of disobedience to God. Israel's about to enter the promised land. Moses will not. Moses ain't going. In fact, Moses' life is about to end before he enters there. God will soon take his life, and he'll never set foot into the promised land. And Moses lays it all out in Deuteronomy in the previous chapters, all that God requires and commands of those who follow him. And Moses says it really comes down to two choices. This is his summary, the end here. He says it's two choices, God's way or the world's way. God's way or the culture's way. God's way or the way you think it should be. Two choices. He puts it actually in more stark terms. He says it's the choice of life or death. Wow. No middle ground. He doesn't say, well, or there's this. Two paths. One leads to life, one leads to death. Because the reality of life is this, that most, if not all, of the bad situations or the bad experiences that we find ourselves in, the ones where we say, how did I get into this mess? They can be traced back to a bad decision or a bad choice we made. We should have done this, but no, we did that. We shouldn't have done that. I should have cut back on that, but I didn't. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have tweeted this. I shouldn't have texted that. And the repercussions follow. You can track it back to poor choices and bad decisions. The people of ancient Israel were no different than today, than the church today, the Christians today, because they viewed their covenant with God as fire insurance. And many Christians do today. Right? It's fire insurance. I'm good. I'm in the lifeboat. In ancient Israel, they were God's chosen people. God said, you'll always be my people. They knew that. No matter how bad they screw up, they're going to be his people. We say, we're saved. We're good. No matter how bad I screw up, I'm okay. I can sin from Monday through Saturday, even into the morning of Sunday. But on Sunday, I come here and I'm forgiven. We got it down to this insurance deal, this you know, almost fire insurance or health insurance with God. We fall into that trap today. And Moses says this, don't do that. Don't do it. It's no way to live. It's no way to live. Better to live in the blessings of God than to keep going against them and be forgiven and brought back in. Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 11. Oops, already got it. Moses says, now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven, so that you have to go, that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that we have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. So Moses is saying basically this. It ain't rocket science. It ain't rocket science what I'm telling you. You don't need a master's degree in theology or a PhD to grasp what I'm saying. And you don't need to go on a pilgrimage to Tibet or to Rome, your choice, depending on the weather, right? Don't go to Tibet in the winter. And to get the picture, right? What does he say? He says, no, the word is very near you. It's actually in your mouth, and it's actually in your heart, so that you may obey it. He says, you know it. When it comes to making these choices, you know which choice to make. You just don't do it. You know it. Why? Because God has put it in your heart. The Spirit of God has literally rewired your heart and your mind and your viewpoints. You see things different. You look at one thing and you go, should I do that or not? Last year, you wouldn't have even asked that question. Last year, you'd be at... because he's rewired. He's put it in your heart. And he's given you... this ain't rocket science, the determining of good and evil and the ability to make the choice. The power to do it comes from God himself. The power to make the choice comes from God himself. That's the whole purpose of this, what Moses' message is. It's not just all these laws, but only God's going to help you obey. Only God's going to give you the ability to follow him. If you try on your own, you'll fail. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Life and prosperity, on the one hand, or death and destruction. These are our two outcomes. And the path that gets us to either one of these two things comes in many small twists and turns, kind of like a GPS. When I get lost, I do a lot of driving during my work week. When I get lost, and I say, and I realize, oh, I haven't been following where I should have been going. It's a lot of small turns and mistakes. But ultimately, all of these things, all these choices, all these decisions lead to one or the other destination. And the destination is life and prosperity or death and destruction. Moses says, choose wisely, choose life. I don't know if you know this, but in the former Soviet Union, the government frequently published maps which were deliberately false. The government would put out maps that were wrong. They had towns in the wrong places, rivers in the wrong places, roads were misplaced or mislabeled. Places were left out, street maps were inaccurate. Why? Why would they do that? National security. National security. The reasoning was that the less people knew about these things, the more trouble foreign spies or invaders would have in time of war. If they were invaded again, like Germany invaded them, even the locals wouldn't know what's on the other side of the river, okay? Actually, right, such a strategy didn't work. It led to confusion and inefficiency in life. To get where you're going, you need accurate maps or honest GPS signals. For God's people, we have it. It's called this book. It's called the Bible. This is your map. This is your GPS. Imagine if you had a GPS in your car and you drove around getting lost all the time. You say, dude, you got that 12-inch screen on the front of your car. I don't use it. I don't use it. Well, that would be pretty dumb. Yet, we have our Bibles that we don't open, that we don't read equally. Because that's our roadmap, that's our GPS, that's his primary way of talking to us. The Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Moses says, here it is. Here's your map to guide you to God's blessings and to avoid the curses. Verse 17, Moses says this, but if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. He's not saying God's going to destroy you. He's saying you're outside of God's blessings. You're on your own. You're on your own. I have my pet ducks in my backyard. They live in my blessing. I'm like the duck god. Okay? It hasn't gone to my head too much yet. I try to You know, I stay humble. I'm a humble duck, God. And they look to me, and they don't like my rules. At night, I go, come on, come on, get in your house. And they quack. I assume if I spoke duck, I would be very upset with what they're saying about me. But as a duck god, I let them have their own language. And I herd them into their house, and I securely close it. And during the night, God knows what comes through my yard. Possums, raccoons, bears, lions, who knows, okay? And they are in complete safety. And in the morning, there's their food and water for them. And they need to live within my boundaries. If I leave them out in the pen, they're dead. They won't make it one night. I don't go kill them. The world kills them. That's what Moses is saying. If you're outside of God's commands and outside of his blessings, the world will get you. Because the world it works that way, right? So he warns against disobeying God's commands. Now I'll tell you this. If you've ever seen interviews with inmates in prison, you ever see this thing? They got some guy on death row or something, and they go, how'd you get here? What happened? They never talk about the crime they committed. They never go, well, this guy mouthed off to me, man, I plugged him, you know, I shouldn't have done that. They never say that. You know what they say? You know, I grew up. When I grew up, they go back. They go back and they've thought about it and traced all the bad choices that got them onto death row. They never look at the one thing, because it wasn't the one thing. The one thing wouldn't have happened if they hadn't made all these bad choices over and over on that roadmap, right? And they seldom mention the crime for which they're serving the time for. They go way, way back, and they recount their upbringing, the mistakes they made through their lives. That's how they ended up where they are. And Moses says, choose wisely every day. Every day, because every choice you make is going towards one destination or the other. So here it is. Here's the culmination. Verse 19, Moses says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. What he's saying is, I told you, this is Moses' disclaimer. This is the fine print. Heaven and earth witness this. I have told you this. I have set it before you as plain as can be. This is the best. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think this is one of the most fantastic verses in the Bible. I've always absolutely loved this verse. Choose life. Choose life. That's it. This isn't a trick question. Lord, is this like, no. Right before you are these two choices. Choose life. Moses lays it out so simply and clearly because it really is. There's two choices and two outcomes. A beautiful life, a vibrant life, or death and destruction. And look, did you see this part? You and your children. Choose life so that you and your children may live. Your choices, God's way or the world's way, God's way or the way you think it should be, God's way or what you've learned watching TV, they don't just affect you, these choices. They affect everyone around you. They affect your family, too. And it's obvious, as we look at these things, objectively, but less obvious, you know, when we sit and have time to think about it and look at it objectively, it's obvious. But in the heat of the moment, it's not. In the heat of the moment, we choose the wrong way because we're in a bad mood, we've gotten to a point, we've set ourselves up to fail, right? But your poor choices lead to failed relationships, which affect your children for a long time. But the good news is this, and it's all good news. Look what he says. Choose life so that you and your children may live. It's not an irreversible thing. Even if you've made mistakes, and we all have, even if you've caused hardships in people's lives, and we all have, Moses says, choose life. Choose life. God has provided an opportunity for you to switch paths, to get off the path of gloom and darkness and bad result after bad result, to get off that path and switch over to God's path. His path is called, Jesus said, there's two roads. He said there's a really big superhighway called the Broad Road that leads to destruction. Many people are on it. And there's a narrow path that few find, which leads to life. It's the path of beauty. It's a path of joy and of love. It's the path less traveled, right? Few people find it. It's a path to healing. It's away from sadness and suffering. It's a path that ultimately leads to life now and for eternity. Remember what Jesus said? John 10:10. He says, the thief comes only to kill and destroy. That's one path. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the full. He came to give us life now. Jesus offers us life, life now. Not just life that our culture craves, a 9-to-5 existence with partying on the weekends. That's life? Seriously? But a full, rich life in the power of God. You know what it's like having the God life? Anybody want to go back to black and white TV? Oh, look at all the hands going up. Super 8 movies. Good times, right? Good days. The life out there that our culture offers you is the equivalent of a black and white TV. The Christian life is 4K color, 3D. We go to the stores and stuff. We almost fall down. We look in these TVs. You go, can I put my hand in that thing? Will it come out the back? That's the Christian life. You see the world, the beauty. You see the value and the beauty in people, as opposed to them being... It's the difference between the Soviet Union and our life. A dull, drab existence and a vibrant life. It's a life of beauty in an ugly culture. It's a life of love in a cold world. Choose life that you may live and follow God's command. So, a little different. On your feet, because I wake you up. Come on, wake up. On your feet. I want to hear you sing. And be careful. Be careful. There's a principle in the Christian life that if you say it and God hears it, you better do it. That's this Moses thing where he's setting heaven and earth to judge you. If you say it and God hears it, you better do it. Thank you. Lord, you heard us. You heard from heaven your people saying, we choose life. We choose the one who gives us life and gives it to us freely and abundantly. We choose to follow Jesus, his commands, his examples. Now, Lord, we call on you to give us the ability to do it. We want to do it. We want to make the right choices. Give us the courage. Give us the power. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we can make the right choices for us and our families, Lord. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we ask it. Amen.